Are you also trying to alleviate your anxiety by watching a bunch of K-drama? In that case, BetterHelp is here for you. Get support from a licensed professional therapist at betterhelp.com/rice. At betterhelp.com/rice, you'll get 10% off your first month.
I'm just imagining a pussy gasping for air. Just like,
you know how when you catch a fish and you bring them on land and it just goes...
Yeah, the that just like...
Welcome to Rice to Meet You, a comedy podcast where two comedian friends try to be funny. I'm your host, Nigel Leung.
And I'm your host, Evelyn Hawk. What was that? Funny.
Funny. That's how I say it now. Funny.
Oh my God.
That's how we should all say it. So we are back doing remotes because Evelyn has a career in Sweden that I've told her countless times to give up because she's happier in London.
How do you know that?
I get the vibes, man.
It might be true.
Yeah. You are still lonely here. Don't get me wrong. But you're happier here. You're lonely but happy. In Sweden, you're lonely and sad.
I'm actually back in Sweden because of work. Yes. And then I decided I'm going to stay here for the month of August because I want to see my family that make me happy and my friends that make me happy. My friend, my best friend, actually, Sahan, she just got a baby.
Yeah. Yes.
Congratulations, Sahan and Pepe. Right. Oh, Nigel.
What did they do to get the baby? Suan and Panda kind of like went at it. They pounded the hell out of each other.
Okay, stop. They're my friends.
That's
please
probably nailed markings on the wall or something. You know?
Nigel, stop.
What?
They're my friends. Be respectful, please.
Your friends bang. Okay? So it's time to not think that's gross.
It's not gross, but it's disrespectful.
Why is it disrespectful to say they bang?
Stop talking about my friends.
You should want them to bang. It's a sign of a healthy relationship. You should be asking Petter, or however you say it. Petter? When was the last time you two just went at it?
Nigel, please. I just mentioned that they had a baby, which is nice, and that's why I want to be here. So let's just stop it now, okay? Stop. Okay. Just continue. Even remotely, you're so annoying. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Well, before we start, thank you for sharing that very traumatic personal story last week.
Oh, thank you,
Nigel. Listeners really appreciated it. I really appreciated it, you know.
Are you checking in with me?
What?
Are you checking in with me?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. You don't have to say it.
That's very nice.
Yeah. I'm just saying, are you okay? How's that like? What was that like for you? What was the response like for you? Do you feel supported? Do you feel heard?
I feel like people were very respectful from what I've read. And I got a bunch of DMs from people, so that's nice. A lot of people wrote me and said that they appreciated me sharing it because they've experienced, like, not similar things, but they've experienced trauma. Just trauma, and they were glad to hear somebody talk about kind of going through something that was difficult and then also kind of working through it and coming out the other side of it. So I'm glad that by sharing that it helped a lot of people kind of, you know, brought some relief maybe.
I'm sure there are a lot of people out there with friends who backstabbed them over the years, you know, or exes who kind of ghosted them or was a fuckboy with them, you know?
Was a fuckboy.
Yeah. I'm sure if you ask some of the people I've dated, I was that person, probably.
Yeah. I can
try my best not to be
that.
But, you know, sometimes it happens, you know? I don't even think it. I thought I was trying to be nice and they viewed that as me leading them on. So sometimes there's misunderstandings, and I might have been that person a few times, but it's okay. Yep, I've got karma. Yep. I've had shit stuff happen to me too, so I think I'm even. So I think I'm still going to heaven after everything, you know, the good stuff and bad stuff net out, you know, that's how it works.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm a great guy.
I think, quite honestly, I think it's probably like the good place. I think nobody's going to heaven after like 1980, I mean, after 1885 or something, because every decision you make probably has an unethical result. So I think like heaven's probably closed for everybody after that time.
Really? You know who would be funny if we saw in heaven? Imagine if we saw Michael Jackson in heaven.
I knew you'd bring him up. I knew you'd bring Michael Jackson up.
You can touch kids. You know, I'm still here. The church approves of it, you know? So I'm still here. You can touch kids. No,
if you see him in heaven, it means he didn't. It means that all the kids
lied. What if he did? You know, this is the secret to come to heaven. You're going to touch a little young boy. A sweet, sweet little young boy. He's sitting on my lap right now. Who do you think Billie Jean was? Billie's my favorite.
Nigel.
He's in preschool.
Nigel. It's just... You know, people don't like it. People don't like it when you do this.
Don't like what?
The pedophilia.
People like it. It's just the people. It's just the people who comment. Of course, the people who don't like it will comment. But you are missing the tons of people who listened, chuckled, and went on with their day. You know, when I hear stuff I like on a podcast, I chuckle. No matter how fucked up it is, I don't leave comments. It's only the preachy types, the social justice types. What else have you been up to these days?
Nigel,
how's your vaginal thrush going? I remember you saying that last week, right?
No, I didn't really. I told you privately, but I didn't say it on the podcast. We mentioned it briefly, but people wouldn't have known that I might have been suffering from it. But now that you revealed it, Nigel,
how do you get thrush? Is it like it's clearly not an STI, right?
It's not an STI. No. And that was the thing. Like, I was like, what was it when I was trying to figure it out?
You should make your goal this year to get an STI. I think that will do you a lot of good. You know what I mean? It will shut the overthinking voices in your head.
Not after having thrush. I will not aim to get an STI.
An STI is like thrush, but it's like you had fun to get it. Thrush is like you went to the gym and you sweated and you forgot to wipe down your pussy. That's what...
It's basically what happened. Because the thing is, I've been, sorry if we're grossing you out, but I've been working out so much. And I discovered that my workout pants aren't breathable. They're just thick. So they're not breathable. So I'm like, oh, maybe I have thrush. And the thing is, like, because when I was trying to figure it out, I was like, it can't be an STI. I mean, how would I get an STI? Would I get an STI?
The only thing you fucked was your beanbag chair. You know,
Nigel.
All right, so back to your thrush.
Yeah, back to my thrush. Okay. So basically, it's like, sorry if we're grossing you out, people, but it's very common thrush, and it's like it's a fungus infection in your genitals, and it usually happens if you haven't let your parts breathe.
That's what
I've never had it. So apparently it's like super common, but I've never had it. I've never had it until now. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And so I was like, I need to go and find, I need to talk to my GP. However, the thing is, my GP is strictly online now because I joined an online practice, which means that all of your appointments are via an app on your phone. Mm-hmm. And you do it via video as well. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm not gonna video my vagina to my GP. Like, I'm not gonna do that.
You might go viral also, on TikTok if you did that. You should try it.
They would ban me on TikTok, Nigel. It would be like YouPorn or something. But, and also, and on YouPorn, it would just be one of many. So I don't believe in that morality.
I wonder if that's a fetish. you know, fucking a girl with thrush? What does it look like? What are the symptoms?
The symptoms is that it's very itchy and stingy, apparently. But I didn't have the itchy part. I only had the stingy part. So I was like, it felt like, yeah, I was like, there's something's wrong. And so they, basically, I call, well, when I was setting up the GP appointment, you also have to upload photos of your thing before you can book the appointment. And I was like, I'm not uploading photos to my GP of my vagina. So I just took a photo of the wall, just like a white wall. And then I said, may have thrush, will discuss in appointment. And so I did that, and then I booked the appointment. And but the thing is, when I booked the appointment, the doctor that they gave me was a Vietnamese person, and it was a young Vietnamese person. And I was like, I bet he listens to Rice to Meet You, so I cannot see this doctor. So wow. I canceled it and booked another one.
So many things to unpack there.
Start unpacking, please. So many things to
unpack, like that ego. Oh, this young Vietnamese doctor is probably listens to my podcast. So no, you don't want to see your favorite podcast host pussy. So swipe left, swipe left on what's his name, Victor Tran or something.
Win. Young, it was Nguyen.
Yeah, Nguyen. Okay, yeah. Swipe left on Nguyen. No Vietnamese doctors get to see my pussy. Only white doctors.
Well, the thing is, I've recently met a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and I was really surprised. But like, I was filming something last week, mm-hmm. and the makeup lady, she was East Asian, and she was like, "Oh, I listened to your podcast." So I was like, "Oh, okay." And I didn't want to risk the doctor that I'm seeing for thrush to be like, "By the way, I listened to your podcast. You're very funny. Uncle Roger's hilarious."
Well, the doctor should be a professional. He probably wouldn't say that. I think it's all in your head.
He probably wouldn't say that to me, but he'd probably say it to like all of his friends.
But I think you should have taken a photo and sent it to your doctor. Okay,
I know you.
That's not how you want to lose your sexting virginity. You know, you want to send it to a guy you like.
That's the point. If I don't send a photo of my vagina to people I like, I'm not going to send it to my GP.
But the thing is, you never really send photos of your vagina to people you like. It's always tits or ass. Okay?
Oh.
So the pussy pic is not very common. It's a bit of a bold move. A pussy pic? If I get a pussy pic, I'm like, whoa, all right. This girl's trying something new. This girl's breaking the boundaries, pushing the envelope. You know?
Pushing the envelope.
Yeah, literally.
Have you sent dick pics to people?
No. Only once after she requested it.
Oh. Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
That's important.
That was a good one, too.
The request.
That's a good one, too. Listen, I think you should have sent the pussy pic to Dr. Nguyen, you know, because I think he would have appreciated it. And it would help him diagnose your condition faster. You know?
Well, the thing is, I ended up getting a female doctor, and she didn't ask for a video call. She didn't ask for photos. She just asked for symptoms. And then she was like, okay, go and get this cream. And I was like, okay. And then 1 week after, it's better now. All healed.
So why did the male doctor want the photos and the video?
No, it's like, it's in the app. It's built into the app that you have to send photos. You have to upload at least one photo.
Oh,
and then
I thought it was a male doctor going, yeah, I need to see a couple of photos of that.
Yeah.
Before I can diagnose you. You know? Some close up of the puss, please. You know? Show me some pussy pics.
Close up of the puss.
I need to see your tits too, because sometimes the fungus might jump, you know, from the pussy to the tits. So I need a picture of the tits and your ass too while you're at it, because sometimes a thrush can jump from the front to the back, you know, front to back when you wipe, it just jumps. So I need to see everything. I need to see everything. Can you book in a photo shoot session, a glamour photo shoot session with no clothes on, with nice lighting? I need to see the whole body, you know, put some rose petals in the background just for like scale. And I need to see the whole thing.
So I thought it was a bold move to open this episode with me talking about my thrush. We should have set this as like the last thing.
People like the thrush talk, okay? It's a very common female problem, you know? And
it
I
is,
also don't like how society apparently. Makes female problems gross.
Oh my God. You
know? For me, I'm all about women and empowerment. And I'm so sick of women things being gross. When men get STIs, we're all like, yeah, bro, fuck the whore, got chlamydia. Fuck yeah, high five. It's all like cool and, you know, laddie. But women get thrush, we should be encouraging them to get thrush more. It's because they are working out and bettering themselves at the gym. And they're working out so hard that pussies don't have time to breathe. So we should be encouraging women to get thrush. I'm going to set up a foundation, you know?
The thrush
foundation.
I'm just imagining a pussy gasping for air. Just like,
you know how when you catch a fish and you bring them on land and it just goes.
Yeah, a vagina, just like.
I think you need to buy one of those portable fans and just the USB portable fans. Just plug it to your laptop.
Stick it down the vagina.
You know, like just kind of lift, put your legs on the table and just vroom, or you can't see.
I really don't need to see. I don't think anybody needs to see that.
I can hire a little sex servant to blow on it.
A sex servant? Why is everything in your world like in hierarchy?
That because it's funny. Because a world where we're all equal is a world where we're all not funny. Okay?
Oh my God.
A sex slave is funnier than a empowered sex equal. You know? Let's hire a guy. You know, you can afford it. Hire a little guy and just put his hair between your legs whenever you need some air drying. Just...
Oh my God, I have to tell you something.
What?
So my personal trainer, Neil, he listened to the podcast and he was like, Nigel's quite dominant, isn't he? I told you about that.
Yeah.
And then we were doing a session, I had like a medicine ball. And one of the things is like, you know, when you're leaning against a wall and you're 90 degrees trying to hold yourself up with your legs.
Okay.
You know, like 90 degrees against a wall. To train your leg muscles.
Okay. Yeah.
And then,
I can picture that, yeah.
Yeah, that one. And then I put a medicine ball between my legs and you're supposed to like squeeze the ball. It makes it more difficult to stay up. Mm-hmm. And so I was squeezing. I was like, this is so hard. And he was like, just imagine somebody you hate. Just imagine Nigel as the ball. And then, you know, like use all of your force. And I was like, I don't want him there.
I don't want to be there either. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It goes
to
both of us, okay?
Yeah. But then he was like, he lost his shit when I made that joke. So that was fun.
Oh, really?
But it's so funny.
Okay, Neil has a good sense of humor. I like that guy.
He has a good sense of humor, but it's so funny because even though he just listened to one episode, he could pick up our dynamic.
Yeah, it's not that hard to pick up.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, basically, bully Evelyn. That's all that is to it.
Oh, God.
And it just goes to show bullying can be funny. You know, maybe we shouldn't stop it in schools.
It just goes to show that if it's successful, I'll tolerate it.
Yeah. We're going to make the podcast so successful that you need it in your life to pay your bills.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If all my other bullies...
Much as I want.
If all other bullies had, like, you know... had made a successful podcast and made us successful as a duo, then I would put up with it.
You should be thanking me for my bullying.
Oh, Nigel, come
on. I never get any thanks, you know. After all this, we 10x our listens. I never get any thanks. And it's always like, you want to be bullying me. Hold space, Nigel. Hold space. Where's my thanks?
You should be thanking.
Where's my thanks?
Sorry?
Where's my thanks?
You should be thanking me. You should be thanking me that I straight man you so well.
I think you say some funny shit too, but thank you. Thank you for straight manning me so well.
Thank you.
I think you should go crazy with me sometimes. So straight manning, you should say some crazy shit. You're trying to get canceled? once, and then you realize it's not that bad, and then you can actually discover new things to joke about, you know?
Well, I don't say bad stuff because I'm afraid of getting canceled. I don't say bad stuff because I don't believe in it, one, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Well, you say bad stuff, but you have to make it funny.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom loves my work, okay?
Okay.
Like, I just realized she sent me a very nice WhatsApp message. Even though, despite all the bad things I say, I just realized my mom loves my work. Especially the Uncle Roger videos, because, you know, I speak in an accent and it's more understandable for them. So she sent me a really nice text. I took this past week's video was JB Oliver, right? But I took the previous week off. And then she said, how are you? Is everything okay? Tonight, I'm looking forward to see your video. It was a Sunday. So tonight, I'm looking forward to see your video. I'm missing one last week. And I replied, yeah, video will be out soon. Thanks for watching. She said, wow, looking forward to watch. Every day I wake up, before I go to work, I must watch a video to laugh and de-stress myself. And every Sunday, I must watch a video before going to bed, you know? And sometimes I watch it again and again. And I hope all your videos never get deleted. Thank you, Nigel. This is considered one way of my entertainment. I love you and miss you, too.
That's so cute.
I know. It's great.
And she knows that YouTube, like, you decide if it's deleted or not, right?
YouTube has taken one of my videos down before, though.
Have they?
Yeah. It got recovered after a while. The Love Island, they say, is a copyrighted stuff. So I had to appeal and stuff. So sometimes they do take down videos. Okay, you know, sometimes it's me, too, you know? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's YouTube. And it's great. So can you blame me for having great mental health? I'm so well adjusted, you can see why. I've impressed my Asian parents. My Asian mom loves my work. You know, biggest achievement of my life. How many Asian people can say that? Their parents are proud of them. And I can unequivocally say, my mom loves my work.
I think all Asian parents are proud of their kids, but they don't show it as much.
Oh, and my mom shows it so many times.
Yeah, your mom shows it a lot. But I think also, it doesn't mean that you're mentally sound. It just means that you're confident and love yourself and you're not ashamed of yourself.
AKA that's what it sound. Means. AKA mentally sound.
Mentally sound.
Yeah.
Or healthy.
Do you know how much money you spend to get those three things you just mentioned? To not hate yourself, to be confident. And what was the third thing? Be confident.
I can't remember now.
To not hate yourself, to not feel shame, and to love yourself, you know?
Oh, confident. To not feel shame. Yeah. But then that could tip over to the other side, as we've seen on the podcast, where you think that you are so great.
Well, I am pretty great. I'm just being realistic here. I'm being self-aware.
Okay, going back to your parents, Nigel, it's very nice that your mom's supportive, but you can also see how different we are, because my mom called me the other day and she was like, now that I'm back, she wants to see me a lot, but she doesn't want to tell me that she wants to see me. So she'll call me and she'll be like, oh, you got a letter. When do you want to come and get it? Should we bring it to you? Like, when can you come and get it? When can we see you? And I'm like, Mom, I'm very, very busy. I have a lot of work to do. But if you want to see me, then sure, you could come and have lunch with me, like, on Wednesday. But it has to be around my area. And then she's like, I don't like any restaurants around your area. And I'm like, well, I can't venture too far because I have to work. And then my dad in the background's like, she has to work. Why are you bothering her? Why are you always bothering her about seeing her? And then my mom gets defensive and she's like, I'm not bothering her. I didn't say I wanted to see her. She invited us for lunch, but I don't like any of the restaurants. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she's like, fine, we won't come. And then she hangs up.
Well, I think
so that's the difference.
I think you are at fault here, to be honest. I heard
how
this,
am I at fault?
Like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm very busy. I can only you have to come to me. It's a little bit entitled, isn't it? Do you think your parents aren't busy? I know my mom's busy too, but my mom asks when I'm back in Malaysia, I always try to go to them. And she lives where last time I was in Malaysia, I lived in the city center, so it's a 45-minute Uber ride to her place. I still go. Sure, I work on my laptop after I finish dinner at her place, and they don't mind. You know, I never go, oh, I'm just really busy, mom. Come to my place. If you want to meet me, it has to be Wednesday between 5 and 6:30. Come to me, you find some place there.
Okay, so, Nigel, mm-hmm. I already had lunch with them. As soon as I landed, I went and had dinner with them. As soon as I landed, okay. I went and had dinner with them.
Left that out. I changed my opinion. Okay. Your mom's being a bit, yeah.
She's being, I understand her and I want to see her. Like, the thing is, and usually me and my brother go to their house once a week to have dinner. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, but I do understand, I've been away for a month, so she wants to see me. So I'm like, okay, I'll try and make an effort. But as you know, we have such a packed schedule with all of the work and deadlines. So I'm like, so it's so obvious to me that she wants to see me. So I'm like, well, okay, I'll try and make some time. But in that case, you guys come here. And my parents are retired, so they have the time to come. That's the thing. Like, so I'm trying to be like, I'm not saying no, which mm-hmm. is what I need to say. And be like, I'm so sorry, I'm a bit busy, but I'll see you on Sunday for family dinner. But because I know that my mom wants to see me, but she's not expressing it like overtly, then I have to be like, oh, I'll try and accommodate you, but then we have to do it this way. But then because my family, all we do is yell at each other, it becomes a yelling match.
So dysfunctional.
And then it just devolves.
So dysfunctional.
Yeah. Yes.
My family, we only yell at each other sometimes, you know, when we're angry. But... oh, well, what's the solution there? I think your mom needs to take therapy. She has time, right? Do you think she has to take therapy? A little bit of therapy? She's had a hard life. I heard her stories.
Of course
she needs therapy.
Of course she needs therapy,
maybe
but
you
she's
should
an
book
Asian
her a few
mom.
Sessions. You should book her a few sessions.
She's an Asian mom.
Tell her
in
it's a
70s.
Spa holiday.
She's
trick
not
her,
gonna...
Trick her, tell her it's a massage.
She's not gonna have therapy.
And she goes to the therapist. She starts stripping and lies on the couch. And the therapist is like, what the fuck? What's her name? Mrs. Mock? What the fuck? Can you keep your clothes on?
You clearly don't know Asian moms, because if you did, you would know that they wouldn't let anybody touch them. They wouldn't let anybody touch them. I would have a bigger chance of getting my mom into therapy than to get her to get a massage.
My parents love massages. I got my whole family massages when we went on holiday last time.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I think there's something wrong with your family, man.
Well,
I don't
there's
think it's a
lot. There's a lot wrong with my family, but I also think...
You think that's
it's
how
probably
all
an
Asian
immigrant
families
thing.
Are. Sorry?
It's probably an immigrant thing, to be honest. I bet you. I mean, leave it in the comments. Let us know how many of your parents would do massages, and if it's like an immigrant thing. It might be an immigrant thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
My parents love massages. I love massages. I think that's my therapy. And it's a bit sad. Then how do they enjoy themselves? What do they do?
They go for walks.
Yeah, wow. Exciting times.
Why are you judging them?
I'm saying...
They go for walks and go, like, to the grocery store.
Did you have a story about how your dad went to get a massage and you cock-blocked him from getting a hand job? So I think your dad likes massages. Get him a gift card to a reputable massage parlor.
He only got it because it was included. I think when he retired, his colleagues got him a present, which was a massage, a spa day at one of the spas here in Gothenburg. And he just left it for 5 years. And then the day before it expired, he gave it to me. And he's like, here, go and get a massage. So I can safely say my dad does not enjoy massages.
What if there was a happy ending at the end?
Nigel, stop it.
Okay, fine.
Stop being a perv.
Sorry.
Do you also procrastinate by listening to K-pop and then convincing yourself that learning all of the moves to all of the Blackpink songs is much more important than the actual deadline you have coming up? Then yeah, our sponsor BetterHelp is here to support you. Now, as listeners to the podcast, you guys know that I absolutely love therapy. It's a way for you to learn about yourself. So go visit our sponsors, BetterHelp. They will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. And the best part is, it's all online. So no matter where you are in the world, you can connect with your therapist in a safe, private, online environment. And once you get assessed, you'll start communicating in under 48 hours. With BetterHelp, you can send a message to your counselor at any time. They'll give you a timely and thoughtful response, and then you can schedule your video or phone session. And it's more affordable than traditional therapy, all from the comfort of your own home. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/rice. Join over 1 million people who have taken control of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/rice.
You should just stay in London. You know, if your parents are bothering you, they can't bother you when you're here. You know, you're staying in your little flat, which is quite cute, by the way. I've been there once, you know. Perfect for one person.
It's a nice little place.
Yeah. There's a nice restaurant downstairs.
There's a really nice restaurant downstairs, which I'm really missing, actually. Mm-hmm. The Chinese restaurant that's right below me on the street. Because I'll be honest, there are like four restaurants. There are two restaurants and two bars on that street. I've tried three of them, and the Chinese one is the best. Because there's an Italian one, and that one's not very good. Mm-hmm. And then there's just like a typical kind of chain pub that's not really good. And so I... but I really wish that I could have had the Chinese one again because I'm on a diet. I just stopped eating there. And so it became a bit awkward because I would always walk past and they'd always be like, hey, when are you coming back? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. And then the other day, actually, my friend came to visit me. She came to my apartment. Then we walked down to get some coffee. And as we walked out, one of the uncles saw us and they waved and said hi. And then... my friend went back there for lunch with another friend that mm-hmm. she was meeting. And they were like, oh, where's Ling Ling? And she was like, oh, she's busy, so she couldn't come. And they were like, oh, that's too bad. And then all of a sudden, they come and they bring her a smacked cucumber salad. And they're like, it's on the house because you know Ling Ling. And I was like, whoa, okay. That's like more cachet that I've had anywhere. But also, they never gave me anything for free. I always paid for every dish that I had there. They never gave me anything for free.
Yeah.
But they're giving my friend something for free just because they know me.
That's annoying. I think you deserve some free stuff.
I think so too.
You should tell them.
Yeah.
Just because I have depression doesn't mean I'm less of a human being. Give me some free shit. You know? But maybe you give off rich person vibes.
How do you mean? I definitely don't give off rich person vibes.
Or maybe a friend gives off poor people vibes, you know? Does she? I don't know who this friend is.
No, I mean, she works at the BBC and stuff, so I don't think she does.
Okay.
I don't know. I think she's a very standard person.
Maybe it's because they're new customers and they want to keep them coming back.
Maybe.
You know? And they're like, yeah, she's... They see you there. Yeah, she's coming here. She lives upstairs. She's coming down. We don't have to give her any free shit. She's coming back. We are way better than this Italian place. You know?
Yeah, or
they don't
was
have
it
to
like,
win your business yeah. anymore.
Or is it like they're like, oh, we need to get her back. Maybe if we give her friend a free thing, then she'll come back. I don't know.
Maybe. Let's give a friend a free thing. Maybe the friend can bring Evelyn back. You just tell them you're on keto.
I know. Yeah, I should just tell them.
You can still eat some stuff, some crispy pork and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
and true. You should bring Neil there sometime. And then let Neil make a meal plan for you while he's at the Chinese restaurant.
Like, this is what you can eat, and this is what you can't eat, and this is what you can eat. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, if you're on keto... You should order items 24, 46, and 59, you know, that kind of
thing.
That's
funny. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just chicken breast and kale and, oh. Again, I'm all for ethnic personal trainers, you know? I think only Asians should train other Asians. I think Asians should only train other Asians, you know? You should bring, like, because they know what we eat, right? So you can bring an Asian personal trainer, a Chinese personal trainer to a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And they can teach you how to eat. Like how you're supposed to eat. Now this chicken breast and peas bullshit, right?
But I mean, okay, if I'm on it, I agree, like we should have, there was actually, you remember the last time we talked about it?
Yeah, we briefly mentioned it. And now I was thinking about that and it makes more and more sense. we need to have segregation when it comes to personal training. I am pro-segregation. I think it makes sense, you know. Okay, you can choose to be segregated or not, of course. If you don't mind that you can eat just chicken breast your whole life, you choose whoever. But if you want to hold on to your culture and identity, like I assume how you want, there should be a service in a gym called Show Me My Own People Only, a little checkbox.
Show me my own people only.
I only want to be trained by my own people. And then they show you their photos, you vet them. They give you a cultural background, where their parents are from, where they grew up, what their diet's like.
So the thing is, there was actually a Chinese personal trainer who got in touch with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing the comment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really funny. I mean, I agree. It's like, you should... I mean, you should have somebody who gets your culture. Like, okay, I don't agree. Like, the thing is, it's nice. It would be nice if you have the additional bonus of somebody who gets your culture, who can help you with, like, you know, incorporating stinky tofu and, like, crispy belly pork and, you know, like, mapo tofu and stuff and dumplings. But it's, of course, it's like a luxury. But I haven't seen, and how many Asian PTs are there outside of Asia?
Well, I think there will be more if we give them an opportunity, you know? We need to have, I think there are a lot of Asian PTs out there. It's just that usually they just send you whoever, you don't pick, so they just send you whoever, you know? But I think PTs can also do remote training now.
Yeah.
You know, sure. We don't want to package it like a fascist. We don't want to come out and say only Asians should train other Asians, only black people should train other black people. We don't want to, the marketing language needs to be a little better, you know? Like, don't phrase it like how I phrase it. It's too political and too, like, tension drawing, you know? You want to package it like, here at this gym, we pair you up with people who are sensitive to your culture, culturally relevant individuals. And by that, I mean segregation. The PR language needs to be like more flowery.
Oh, know? My God.
Flowery PR language. Instead I really of saying hope you're pro-segregation, you're saying it's a personal trainer who understands your cultural needs and norms. You know?
I mean...
Like, if you're a devout Muslim, like, you surely can't train on Fridays. So having a trainer who knows that, who's at mosque with you together, amazing. They check in on you. You know? I think it's a great business idea.
I mean, honestly, like, when you said that, I was like, that was what I was thinking, like, a PT who's culturally sensitive. But then you give your reasons, and you're like, it's segregation. And I'm like, Nigel!
I tried to find an extreme but funny way to put it. Okay? So, we should have some segregation when it comes to these things. White people should only train white people, because then they can go crazy with their chicken breast and spinach. You know?
Chicken breast and spinach nine ways. That would be funny. Well, the thing is, I no longer, I'm eating everything now. I have, like, you know, the thing is, like, the purpose of doing this is just, like, and also in life, really, because you know how they say, like, losing weight is just a lifestyle change? And quite honestly, it is. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's just like you change your behavior from what it used to be to, you know, something that's healthier for you. So instead of going to Burger King to get like six chicken wings and then go to McDonald's and get a double cheeseburger, I now just go home. Okay, so basically for what it took for me to do this is that I had to do a lot of emotional work to not need to rely on those crutches because they basically, it's coping mechanisms that you develop when you're very young. And then when you get older, it becomes a pathology. And then just stop it. Stop it. Stop smirking.
I thought it would be funny. I thought that's what I'm trying to do. You know, think of funny shit to say on the pod.
But it's also like, so the thing is, it doesn't necessarily have to be food. It could be, you know, it could be alcohol. It could be smoking. It could be drugs. It could be whatever.
Yes.
But it's basically changing your coping mechanisms or learning to not rely on them.
Speaking of, I now have homeowner behavior. Okay. That's why I
classified it. What's homeowner behavior?
Last week, we talked about Ferrer and Ball. You know, this week, my new obsession is Aesop.
Aesop?
Yeah, I love it.
Why?
Because it smells so good. Bergamot. Oh, bergamot's my new favorite thing. I don't even know what it is. You know, I just know I like the scent. And I did some Googling. Turns out it's just like some sort of citrus, some posh citrus fruit, you know, with limey, citrusy and spicy undertones. Oh, love it. It's like white people's yuzu, bergamot, posh, a posh citrus fruit.
Have you just discovered, Aesop?
No, I've known it for a while, but then now I'm at a, stage now where I have to like furnish my bathroom with things. I'm like, what should I get? You know? So you ever go to someone's bathroom and they have like the fucking blue hand soap that tastes like chemicals?
I do.
So I don't want that. I want Aesop. I want some nice basic bitch stuff. I want all the basic bitch stuff, actually.
Aesop is very basic bitch, I will say.
Listen, you put out the things in your house that attract those people, you know? So I want to attract the basic bitch in my life.
Why do you want to attract basic bitches?
They're nice. Just agree with everything I say.
Nigel.
I don't want them to be too smart and know too much about psychology and coping mechanisms and attachment styles. You know, I want to be like, sometimes I be sad sometimes, Nigel. Fuck me. You know, that's what I want.
Yeah, I can tell that's what you want. Yeah. But that's funny. So have you bought a lot of Aesop products now?
No, I'm still thinking what I want. I haven't moved into the new place yet.
Oh.
But I let me know, listeners, what Aesop products you like. I think starting with hand soap, some hand cream, maybe like some face stuff, shower gel. Oh, because right now I'm using Aussie shampoo, which is pretty great. But I think Aesop, take a step up, you know.
I mean, hand soap is what they're known for. So just stick to the hand soap. You don't want everything in your bathroom to be Aesop. You want to be curated. So hand soap, Aesop. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, if you really want to fancy it up, not even liquid soap. You use bars. Oh. That's what the fancy people use. They use bars. So get a soap bar. And then for your shower, like for you, what you use in the shower, get something else. You don't want everything to be from the same thing.
True. Good call. So we'll see next week what I'm going to be obsessed over. You have Aesop. And then, soap bars. What a comeback, huh?
Soap bars is really having
really
a time.
They're really making a comeback. Yeah. They used to be like, we used to use them a lot growing up because we were poor. So they're the cheapest thing. And then you just wash all your body with it and there's people's pubic hair stuck on it. Soap bars, yay! And now it's coming back and it's like posh people shit. I love it.
It is, it's really expensive now too. And it's like different lavenders and stuff. And you should look at Savon de Marseille. I believe they're called. It's like the soap from Marseille. That's a really big kind of fancy soap as well. Not as common as Aesop.
Okay. So I will take that advice. Nice soap bar. So listeners, if you're privileged enough to be invited to my housewarming, which most of you won't. So you'll see my bathroom kitted out with the nicest things.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's very, very funny.
Basic bitches know how to live, man. I'm telling you. Their life is so simple. I just want to be a basic bitch with no internal monologue. That's why I think it's a good life, you know?
Oh, what? So like drink wine, drink rosé at like 3 p.m.?
Yeah, rosé, take a photo, upload to Instagram, you know? Their life is so great. That's what I want for myself.
Pim's o'clock.
Turn off your internal monologue, people. I call it a mental illness. I still stand by it. Internal monologue is a mental illness. I don't need that in my life. I just want to be busy, do good work, eat good food, you know? Go on a few holidays, turn it off. No, this none of this voice. You know?
I think that sounds like a really nice life, actually. If I could have that life, I would.
You need to adopt the basic bitch lifestyle. Right now, you have a very intellectual, liberated, empowered, but depressed woman's lifestyle. You need a basic bitch lifestyle.
I'm no longer depressed, though.
Oh, really?
I'm no longer depressed.
Oh, that's new. Okay. Oh, yeah, you work through it.
What
Congrats.
Do you mean that's new?
Sorry.
Haven't you followed my journey on this podcast?
I thought it's a gradual thing. I didn't think depression was like an on-off switch. I think it's a gradual, you're less depressed than you used to be, but you're still depressed.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's true.
That's what I thought.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, if you're depressed, you're, exactly. Yeah. But I think I had, like, a huge depressive episode.
Okay.
And I haven't felt, because I haven't felt like, I've always been anxious and stuff, but I was never like, I was never clinically depressed before that episode that I had. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's like, I'm starting to like recognize myself again.
Sometimes I feel like, all these freedoms we get, the more equality we have, the more depressed we become, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, feminism and women got to the workforce, more equal, they start making their own money. And then I'm like, you're still depressed. So, yay! Enjoy your freedom. I thought you guys would like, I thought feminists should like fight for the right to work and then don't fucking go to work because work sucks. You know? You fought for it and then you actually did work, and then the guys are like, well, welcome, we're trying to shield you from this drudgery in the cubicle, but hey Linda, welcome to your new life.
We're trying to shield you from this.
Yeah, we're trying to protect you, Linda, but you wanted to nah, I don't want to stay in the house and have the easiest job in the world.
Oh my god.
Well, welcome. I hope you're happy now. And 50 years later, What's happening? We're still not happy. Both genders equally still not happy. It's harder, way harder to buy a house because now both in the couple, both of them work. So the house prices is actually doubled. So what good did it do? What good did it do?
It reminds me of a Natasha Leggero joke where she goes, women's liberation movement has really fucked things up. Like, we didn't used to have to work.
Yeah.
And like, if we wanted something, we would just like kind of talk in a kiddie voice and ask our husbands to buy it and stuff.
Sure. Sometimes
it's really funny.
Sometimes you'll get abused by a husband once in a while.
Oh my God.
But again, contentious thing. But if you told me, okay, you get punched once a year, but you don't have to work, it's legitimately a very tough decision to make. Think about it. You get to retire, have all the free time, but you have to get punched once a year. And we'll let you know in advance. We'll give you 2 weeks notice when you get punched. But you don't have to work.
2 weeks notice.
Like, ooh. What? Joking here, people. But what would you choose? You get punched once a year, but you'll be well-fed, well-paid. You have pocket money to spend on your own shit, of course.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to work. Just get punched once a year. Once a year.
I mean, you're speaking like a true man. Like a man who's, like, not gone through
if
life.
If you flip it.
With the freedom.
And I get hit by my wife once a year, but I don't have to work. Sure. Mm. I'll take it. And sure. Don't give me the weight class. She can hire someone to hit me once a year. I'll let you have that. I'll get a bigger guy in a bigger weight class to hit me. I'll take it once a year?
Would you also want to live in a matriarchy?
I don't mind that.
In a matriarchy.
To be honest, you know?
Where you don't really have anything and you get to experience all of these microaggressions every day. And like,
I experience all the microaggressions like, blah, 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 every day now anyway.
All the messages to you is like, you're not worthy of anything. You're just like somebody's baby-making machine. You don't need to do anything. Like, you don't have the right to do anything. You can't even wear pants. Blah, blah, blah.
You know.
You can wear pants.
One of my goals of my life is to be a stay-at-home dad. And all those criticisms apply to a lot of stay-at-home dads too. You know,
they
feel like, yeah, they don't. They feel emasculated. Society still society at large still doesn't view a stay-at-home dad as like a, you know, worthy or contributing to society as much as a stay-at-home mom does. So, mm-hmm. Sure, I haven't tried it, but even thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, I'll still take the stay-at-home dad life. You know, you deal with your bosses. I'll just play with my kid. Sure, I'll get some dirty stares at when people I go to the park with people, but
the thing is, like, you are coming from it from like you would become a stay at home dad after you've made your kind of earned your living, right? Mm-hmm. So that you'll probably keep making a YouTube video once in a while or something whenever you want. But would you be as comfortable with it and as like, you know, okay with it? If that was all you grew up to be?
Like, it's like, oh, you don't need to go to school, Nigel. All you need to do is you know, marry somebody who can earn a living. Yeah. And then you stay at home and take care of the house.
I don't know. Maybe. You can't turn back time, right?
No, that's true.
But yeah. maybe there's a fine balance there. Maybe I like going to school. I like learning shit. But I just don't want to do shit. Can we have that balance? Let's say with women, you can learn and be as ambitious, as smart as you want. But you don't have to work. And that you live in a world basically where if you want to work, people welcome you to the office. But if you don't want to work, then the husband says, yeah, okay, that's fine. We'll support you. That's a better world for everybody, I think. You know?
I mean, obviously, if we lived in a world where everything was equal and stuff, and then it's like, you don't have to work, obviously.
No,
I wouldn't.
If you
work.
Want equality, then they'll expect you to work because equal.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So that sucks. I'm saying equality isn't that great.
Why isn't it that great?
Because then you have people expect you to work as a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
sucks, doesn't
that's
it?
True.
You have to work?
Yeah.
I want to work sometimes, sure, but I don't want to have to work.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So you guys fought for too much. It's backfiring. That's what I'm saying, people. Fought for too much, women. Fought for too much. You had it good. Maybe the late 90s, you had it good. You had a good like, 80s, 90s. You still went to university. You still got really, you know, smart. And then it's still a very acceptable just stay at home after you finish uni, you know. That was a good time. Now, they got to the job market. You're struggling and, you know, you have to work because society has this like, oh, you have to be ambitious. You have to be a career woman. Have a kid. Have a life. Have a career. Too much. You're too empowered. And empowerment makes people depressed. I'm telling you. When I hear people say they're empowered, I just say, oh, you're lonely and sad. That's what I'm hearing.
So basically, you're preaching ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I'm preaching,
stop fighting so hard. You had it really good. You fought for too much shit, and now you're kind of stuck in this
that's
world.
That's hilarious.
Where you're like, yeah, be a strong woman, independent, but still have a family, though. Still have a family, though. But be strong, independent, have a career, but still have a family, though. It sucks, doesn't it? It sucks.
I mean, I agree with you that women's issues are more spoken about in the public, and we should definitely start looking into like the male kind of stereotypes and stuff, and the male masculine expectations of men. But that's because, like, you guys had all the rights. You guys made all the decisions. So that's why women talk about it more. And we're like, oh, we want power too. And then as you say,
well,
whoa,
here you go.
Power.
Now you have it.
With power comes great responsibility.
Now you have it. Are you happy? Now people are going like, she's a single mom, but also an entrepreneur. And she takes care of her children and she's ambitious. And they say like, it's a good thing. Like, I'm like, wow, I don't want any of that.
Like, it's a good thing.
Yeah, people say, like, it's a good thing. I'm like, no, you're making women miserable because they're holding up themselves with this impossible standard.
Yeah.
You know? I want to be just, like, one thing, ambitious, maybe a good dad. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't need to be, like, the, single dad, raises his kids right, takes care of his family, you know? Enjoy the power, women. Enjoy your power.
But that's because, and that's true. That's true. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Like, women are being held to an impossible standard. And as a man, you have the luxury of not needing, like, not having
that's
that at all.
That's why we're piping down, because we're like, well, we don't want to be held to that standard. So you guys go ahead, fight your rights, get empowered. Y'all go get empowered. Go, women, go, yay! And then we're actually enjoying our lives.
But that's the thing. That's always been the issue, though, because before empowerment, that was the issue as well. But then because with empowerment, we still haven't dropped this old version of what a woman is. So it's just like we have this old version. And then because of empowerment, we've just added more shit to the thing instead of being like, oh, okay, instead of this old version, we can just be this version. It's like, no. You have to be the old version and add a bunch of new stuff.
You guys
so
fucked up.
You're
man.
Absolutely
you guys,
right.
You guys fucked up.
How did we fuck up?
You kept fighting for things. You forgot to let go of things.
No, I think
you kept
it's
fighting
a trap.
For new things to add to your plate, but then you forgot. Oh shit, my plate is full. You know?
It's not. Yeah. But I don't think we can't accuse women of that because
we
wanted to break out of it. We wanted
you
to break out
for
of it.
It. you let's not accuse Matt of that. We didn't do shit for you. So you accuse your feminist pals, first wave, second wave, third, I don't know what wave, but like, yeah, you guys probably need to get back to the drawing board and figure some shit out.
I think we can agree that it's say that it's the societal standards for women. Like, of course we should have more rights and stuff, and of course we should have, you know, equal opportunities and stuff. But then the other part of it, people always say that it's because of the patriarchy, like all of the, you know, like the gender roles and all of that stuff. But then again, it's like, who is upholding the patriarchy? Well, everybody's complicit, aren't they?
Maybe it's your ovaries and biology.
Oh my god, it up. Nigel, stop it now. That? You're just being contrarian. Stop it.
You ever think about that? Maybe your ovaries create this chemical that makes you feel obliged to stay with your child. You know, as every mom would have, you know, it's a real emotion a lot of moms have. I have friends who are moms now. And they feel this bond of their kid more than the dad feels.
Of course. They've been inside you.
So maybe patriarchy is both biological and cultural. You ever think about that? You ever think about that?
Oh my god. Oh my god. Well, the thing is, I remember I came to a conclusion recently where I was like, if I meet somebody, I'm gonna obviously I want kids. If I meet somebody I'm gonna want to start a family with that person. But on my own, I don't think I'm going to get kids. If I don't meet somebody, I don't think I would want kids.
But you can be the hero, the single mom go-getter.
Well, I don't want all that. Type. It's really hard to raise a kid on your own.
Yeah.
As you just said, it's really hard. So it's like, it's not something that drives me, you know, thing. But who knows? I mean, maybe in a few years it's going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come seeking your sperm.
No, I'm not giving you my sperm. No, thanks.
You said it. You remember you said it a few episodes back.
Yeah, but I don't want to see like my own. I want to have my own kids that I raised, and I changed my mind now.
Okay.
I don't want to see my face on someone else's kids. It'd be weird. It'd be weird. But I hope you find a special someone you can raise a kid with.
Oh, my God.
6 years till middle age. I hope you find someone soon. I'm just trying to inject a sense of urgency, as I do with myself all the time. 10 years till middle age. I got to find someone soon, you know?
Hmm. True, true, true. True, true, true.
Chop, woman, chop, chop.
Oh, my all God.
Right. All right. This has gone long enough. Thank you for listening, guys. And remember, more rights. It's not always a good thing. So
it is a good thing, but we need to crush the patriarchy. Patriarchy.
Yeah.
A massive thanks to all of our patrons who make this podcast possible. And we want to shout out our patrons at the Rice Emperor tier and above. Adrian Teo,
Alfredo Lopez Ramirez,
Alvin Ko,
Alyssa Lim,
Amy Wong, Angela Din,
Anna Chan,
Asian Rights Matter,
Asian Snacks,
Augustus Loy,
Aisha Shaheen,
Ben Jen,
Black Widow EE,
Candy,
Charity Delmas,
Charlene K,
Chayi,
Edith Wu,
Chinese Hemp,
Chris Zaykit Wong,
Christina Marie Van Norman,
Silla Siote,
DT Memory, Emergency Response Team Wimbledon,
Dingus,
Doug Wheaton,
Elizabeth Hay,
Ella Woof,
Grace Rotz,
H.
Hung Black,
Iris Holland,
Isha Ku,
Jackie,
Jason Lee,
Jeff Cho,
Jeffrey Watson,
Jenny Chan,
Jeremy Wick,
Jessica Lundboom,
Jin Cheng Gu,
Gina Kim,
Johanna,
Joppa So,
Judy Lai Norling,
Carrie,
Kirsten Gilbertson,
Krishna,
Kyler Go,
Kylie,
Lam Tin Luk,
Leong
Leslie,
Jason Lee,
Lizzie Xia,
Loi Hu Dick,
Lori Hunt,
Megan McErney,
Melissa Pham,
Michael Corazon,
Mun Chiu,
Natalie Lei,
Nathan Konopka,
Philip Idistrom,
Robin Wong,
Sakura Iwagami,
Sarah Lee,
Sebastian Lagasse,
Sharon Guives Sin,
Sydney Mankowski,
Sifu Liu,
Simi Leung,
Teresa Ko,
Trisha R. Pace,
Valerie Gorospi,
Vera,
Vic Rant,
and James Aurora,
Vivian Kaler,
Wei Sung,
White Boy Dave,
Zhou Zhang,
Liu Ye.
Thank you so much for your support.